Hey, you're listening to the Canadian Asian Missional Podcast, and this is episode 17. And we're going to be talking about communicating and preaching the gospel in a Canadian Asian context. We got our special guest, Daniel Wong, with us today, and we're excited to dive into this conversation. Let's do this. All right, thank you guys so much for joining us today. Oh man, I'm excited to have this conversation with one of my former professors, but I would say almost quintessential Canadian Asian. On the one side, you love the Blue Jays.
That's right.
And then on the second side, you are the biggest Kim's Convenience fan I think that there is out there.
One of them.
I love the show. I love how it explores the family context within, you know, kind of a first, second generation Asian family and all the things that they go through. They even go to church.
Right.
In some of the episodes that they talk about.
I just
that.
Went to that church.
You just went to
this
that church.
Week.
Okay.
Because we were checking out the locations for
For
a locations tour.
Oh, you are deeply ingrained into that show. That's fantastic. Right off the top of the bat, would you introduce yourself a little bit, who you are, and, you know, how would you define yourself as a Canadian Asian?
Well, first of all, I have to be taken aback by Canadian Asian. I must admit that I'm a duo citizen.
Right.
I was born in San Francisco, California, and we came to Toronto in 1982 to serve in ministry in a Chinese church, and we became duo citizens or Canadian citizenship later. So
we could say Canadian American Asian.
Well,
CAA.
I would say we're actually working on a book, and we're using the term Asian North American.
Okay,
so we definitely include a spectrum of both U.S. and Canada in
right.
our understanding.
Nice,
but definitely, I've spent more time in Canada than I have lived in the States. So definitely, we consider this home for us and. We're very concerned about the issues that you've been talking about on your podcast.
Hey, this is proof right here that someone actually listens to this podcast.
That's true.
We appreciate
I had to prepare
that.
For being on the podcast,
okay.
So I have to listen to
it. Oh, man. This is why it's going to be a treat. It's going to be, you know, well prepared. I'm not saying the other ones are not prepared, but I'm just saying, you know, it's a treat for today. You know, you talked about coming up for ministry, and so... What is your experiences working with some of the Asian churches here in Canada?
Well, I would say that it's been a very positive experience. I worked mostly in the Chinese church context, mostly Cantonese background. Frankly, for myself, it was difficult coming up because being a third-generation American-born Chinese, most of the people that I worked with were like second generation.
Sure.
And their Cantonese fluency was much better than myself, maybe a bit of understanding of Chinese culture or Canadian culture.
Mm-hmm.
So those were some, you know, challenges for me, but I just found that it was a good context because parents were supportive. They themselves were interested in growing up and exploring identity, particularly identity in Christ.
Sure.
So it's been a, not without of challenges, of course, but generally speaking, parents, leaders, and the Canadian-born Christians have been very supportive of myself and ministry.
What would you say your experiences are with working with those who are first generation? So I guess it would be the parents of those who you
right.
worked with. Yeah, and you know, on our podcast, we talk about the generational differences
sure.
and whether, you know, it'd be someone who would be immigrating into Canada and they'd be considered first generation and their kids being born here, second generation and such
right.
on. What have your experiences been?
Well, again, I would say that parents have always been supportive in terms of wanting the best for their children, as well as often for the church. Of course, sometimes it could be at the expense of following Christ, because we know that there is tension for all of us.
Sure.
You know, we may want the best for our families, we want the best education, but maybe that means that the children have to study and not go to church or go to fellowship or groupings. So there's always that, I think there's always a tension personally, family-wise, That has a bit to do with, I think, I call the immigrant experience, where if you ask the parents, they've come here for the sake of their children. They want them to blossom, to flourish. They wanted a better life than their own selves. So with that, there's a lot of expectations, a lot of sacrifice. And the church can be very cooperative or collaborative, but sometimes can be at odds as well.
Mm. Did you notice any kind of major differences between the first generation perspective of the church and the second generation perspective of the church?
Well, especially the immigrant churches that I worked with, the parents were more concerned about, they call it, their kinsmen, their own types. And so the English-speaking tended to be looking more not only at other Canadian-born Chinese, but multicultural, because that was their world. They wanted to interact and even bring to church people of different backgrounds.
Mm.
So in terms of probably the direction of the church, the purpose of the church, I mean, I vividly recall being in a leadership meeting among deacons and other leaders, and one of the Chinese-speaking, because we were using a lot of English at that time, I understood her to say in Cantonese, "Isn't this a Chinese church?" Which implied we were supposed to be speaking Cantonese Chinese rather than English. And she probably felt the same frustration that I felt of being in certain meetings, half falling asleep, of not understanding. But even in Canada, we know that, you know, when we travel on the transit, often English is spoken in the minority.
Sure, yeah.
So, you know, we all have to navigate these different cultures and languages. I think we also have understood that there is somewhat of a collectivistic viewpoint among the Asian background and a more individualistic among the more westernized.
Sure.
And again, culture, language, all of these things can cause tension.
Right.
But also can help us to draw understanding. And being missional, as you have pointed out, means that we need to be looking at this broader perspective of a more inclusive, incarnational perspective to reach out to others.
Well, that's a lot of big ideas to chew on there, for sure. Hey, you know, jumping into one of your interests, something that you have done for many, many years, and even a class that you've taught on for many, many years, is on the topic of preaching.
Right.
And, you know, off the top of your head, what would be the way that you would just describe preaching? What is preaching? How would you describe it?
Well, I would understand preaching as communicating the biblical truth in a particular context of the congregation or the audience.
Sure.
So it is based on preaching the word, but it's preached in a particular context.
And what would that be looking like in a Canadian-Asian context?
Well, again, it depends on which Canadian-Asian context we're speaking of. And I think this is where we often, as we did in the class that you took with me, we have to understand the context we call doing an exegesis of the situation.
Right.
And so in many different congregations, we see that there's a diversity of those that second generation, there's often the parents. There may be new immigrants learning English, age group differences, background in terms of Christian, those who are seeking. And so each congregation need to be looked at a little bit differently. Although we often think of most of the congregations as a bit younger, a bit more English speaking, a bit more westernized, although coming out of often the Asian immigrant family background. So there are some common background or clues or issues that often are underlying in the congregation.
Right. And how does that, for you, in your own experiences, how does that affect the way you prepare and that you deliver a message? Like, how does it affect in understanding the context and the way you preach? You know, you mentioned a lot of different kind of factors that play into it. You know, what are some of those like nuances or maybe even some challenges? In your context, you're talking about working with Cantonese families and second generation Cantonese families. What are some of the things that you kept in mind when you were preparing a message and delivering it?
Well, often it means a bit of understanding the Hong Kong background where many of the families originated, a bit of the Cantonese culture as opposed to like Taiwan or mainland China. Some of the interests of foods and different superstitions that also exist. So it's all part of the learning process. Part of that has to do with just being pastoral and listening and understanding the people, because it's not you take surveys and understand language capabilities and so forth,
like
Stats Canada type of thing. But really, I think the more that you know probably yourself and the people, the better you will connect with them and be able to think about that biblical message that is understood by yourself, and it flows through your life in terms of application, but also extends out to others.
Sure. Unpack that a little bit. Like, what does that look like for you in terms of understanding it for yourself? And also at the same time, thinking about how others might respond to the message. Like, what does that mean for preaching?
One of those, it might be a choice of a passage. It might be a choice of a topic. I did my master's of theology thesis on honoring parents.
And
that's certainly
that's huge.
Prevalent issue. Not only a cultural issue, but a deeply biblical issue that spans the testaments and has a lot of application for today. So, you know, if I were choosing a passage or a topic, it may have that in mind. I might be designated a passage. One of the things that I, one of my pet peeves is generic preaching, where someone would preach a sermon to this context, whether it's youth or adults, or to the Korean English congregation, or Cantonese, or Mandarin, without contextualizing that to the particular congregation. So just drawing maybe illustrations from the congregation in speaking to them. I always check websites and understand, like, what's the vision, what's the emphasis. So all of those collective things can play into illustrations and perspective. Even talking to some of the congregational members would be able to draw some of those things out. Recently, I spoke on a message which is from 2 Corinthians 4, that we are these clay pots, you know, we are just ordinary vessels. And so, of course, we think about pottery and Dead Sea Scrolls and things, but I came up with this idea that one of the common vessels or things that we use is a rice bowl. And I brought a pottery object, but I also brought a rice bowl. And I think many, you know, first, second generation, and even, you know, non-Asians would identify that, hey, this is a very common plastic bowl, but it can hold very precious treasures and food within it. And so I think there's, you know, that type of thing is things I'm thinking about too. I can draw an additional connection with people so that they can identify with some aspects of the message, maybe see the scriptures in a new light as well.
And I think you really, you know, hit the nail on the head where you're talking about like getting to know the people too. And it's hard to, you know, get to really know the context without getting to know the people. And I think that's why they're, you know, in terms of pastoral ministry and preaching ministry, that necessity to journey along with a community and to understand the ins and outs and what has affected that community, that would be probably the preferred. But at the same time, you know, there's times where we are guest preaching and, you know, we're coming in a bit cold, even though there may be some general things that we know about. I'm just thinking through what you just shared about preaching and, you know, and what to kind of be mindful of. Are there certain approaches that Canadian Asians respond to the gospel better than others? You know, there's a lot of things that have been ingrained in Canadian Asian culture. You talked about honoring your parents. I think that's a big thing. And that feeds back into kind of honor and shame as well, a kind of culture. Have you found that the gospel has been received in more responsive ways than others?
Certainly the aspect of the shame issue, guilt, shame issue is very prevalent. A friend of mine, DJ Chuang, has developed a podcast called Erasing Shame. And I've been listening to that a bit as well, which he brings in different speakers of pastoral, but also psychologists and therapists and very other different type of people. But I think this is one of those topics that needs to be addressed. And Certainly something like the prodigal son passage is one of those that often explores, you know, older son, younger son, you know, what does it mean to have shame, guilt, but also to find redemption in God, in Christ.
Yeah.
So wherever we are, I think there's a lot of starting places where we can identify with people in terms of maybe struggles with identity, we call being the model minority, or being, we call the perpetual foreigner. These are issues that we're struggling with. But how does the scripture, how does the gospel fit into those, and how we can, with biblical models, be able to arise and out of the shame to the grace of God?
Sure. Yeah, and I think, you know, as you're talking about this, I'm thinking a lot about discipleship as well. How is God speaking into our lives in a way that transforms and changes us?
Right.
As you preach, you know, how are those words going to open up space for people to encounter God and to grow and to be in line with his heart and where he's at? I know another interest of yours is discipleship. So I want to kind of link these two ideas together. You know, what are your perspectives on discipleship within the Canadian Asian context? But how do you also see preaching and communicating the gospel as part of that?
That's really good, John. The aspect of discipleship, of course, is following Christ. And traditionally, the background for the first generation has been come to class, you know, sit, learn, listen, absorb.
Right.
However, the more westernized perspective, and more especially the younger generation, is more activistic. They want to get involved. They want to live out their Christianity. And I, of course, we do need some of the basic principles of foundational teaching and scripture, which can come through preaching, but also could come through different classes. But I'm more and more convinced that we need to be directly involved in learning, just like the disciples. It was the challenge of give them something to eat. It was, you know, what to do about different situations that they were able to learn directly from the master and be challenged in their situations. And I hope to see a lot more of that. Usually that probably is in the area we call coaching, mentoring, that is an aspect of discipleship, but it's more personalized as a person has more foundational aspects of their Christian life. But as you go further, that needs to be personalized.
Yes.
I've done a lot of, more recently, coaching of pastors and individuals. And part of that takes place is, hey, let's go for a hike. Let's talk. Let's do something. Let's serve together. And one of the classes that I have is that we go and take the students down to a place, whether it's out of the coal program or one of the Evangel Hall someplace, and serve together. And I think this really is one of the challenges, especially for the, you know, Canadian Asians, because many of them, I call this phenomenon second generation Christians. Many are coming out of immigrant families, but Christian families. And it's very middle class or middle upper class, very comfortable.
Sure.
But how are they challenged to live out their faith?
Yeah.
To pray like they have to. And I think often it's like the short term mission trips. It is like going down and conversing with the poor, the homeless, that in those situations, I think we grow more in those. And I've grown more than those when I've taken students with me, or I'm cutting the onions and I'm saying, hey, what am I doing here? I'm a professor. And then I catch myself and I say, I have to be here. This is where I learned to serve Christ.
Right.
And I need to be the example to the students, my coworkers, that I'm willing to do the dirty work. You know, I'm not above them.
Right.
A teacher is not above the students.
Hey, that's a biblical principle right there.
That's right. But I think that's the way that many of us can grow, is to move out of our comfortable Christianity. Sometimes they're a bit contrived. I know there's been critiques of short-term mission trips. But something like that, where life happens on life. We're out of the four walls. We're out there, missional, you know, looking outward so that we can serve and experience life often together.
Yeah. You know, I think you said a lot in there, and it's a lot to kind of think through, especially like where I think in the past, discipleship sometimes, as you said, can be very class-based or, you know, the ascent of information, the focus on orthodoxy.
Right.
But, you know, we look at the life of Christ, and for him to invite his disciples to follow him, to live it out together, that praxis, that actual embodying of the message was formative as well.
Right.
Right. And you know, how does that inform our discipleship?
Mm-hmm.
And especially for those who are involved in, you know, discipling others, you know, what does that mean? You know, those are big things to chew on and back. And this brings it back to the, you know, what we talked to earlier too, understanding the context as well, right? Discipleship, just like preaching, has to take place within context. It can't just be this model for every situation, but to be, how does it go from things we've learned? How does it inform our heart? Then how does it also shape what we do, right? Yeah.
Well, John, I'd like to mention about the relationship of preaching to discipleship. I see preaching as a catalyst that can develop a discipleship. In other words, the challenge is there. It's pointing people to God in worship. And just like Isaiah, it's like, you know, send me type of response. So then we would work with the congregational members of how they can live that out, how they can work on a day-to-day basis, or maybe as a group we can go and serve, but that would be the lived-out aspects of discipleship. So being a catalyst that can help to propel people into discipleship and living that discipleship out on the day-to-day life in their own context.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to ask a follow-up question to this because you know, you have experience in leading congregations and as a pastor yourself, you know, what are some of the ways in which you can kind of foster environments for that to happen? And especially because you mentioned if you mentioned the word discipleship, everyone might have their own understanding of it. They might not see it as a lived out faith. They might see it as we need to learn more. We need to read more books or whatnot. What does it look like in your experiences or what have you seen to really foster those environments, to collaborate with others, to learn together with others? What have you seen?
Well, I think, frankly, not everybody is at that stage of red-hot discipleship. There's a lot of people on the periphery, others that are interested. And I think everybody, I would say, encourage people to move to the next step of following Christ. Don't go the other way.
Don't go hopefully
let's
not.
Move forward.
Hopefully not.
And I think there'd be a core of people that are really willing to serve, are willing to grow, eager to learn.
Yeah.
And I think we need to concentrate on that group a bit more so that would help them. They would serve, they would go deeper in their walk with God, and they would be the ones, as the scripture talks about, you know, moving to the next generation, that they would teach others who would teach others and live out that example. So we do need to work with people at all levels, especially those that are hurting and, you know, they can barely, maybe they need to be carried to God. But I think we also need to concentrate on developing true disciples of Christ and leadership. Now, part of that could be facilitating, of course, we need biblical teaching on discipleship through sermons, through podcasts, other means.
Hopefully people are listening.
But then there can be other facilitating things like retreats where we could grow deeper with God and serve. Now, some of this, as we mentioned, is not quite so understood by the first generation, whereas, you know, you need to go and have Bible study and do different things. But the proof is in the pudding. I think we do see that people grow and are stretched. Let me mention something we had at your church, the Scarborough Chinese Baptist Church, and going back to the Toronto Chinese Baptist Church, we called this a teens camp. And this was, I call this a year's work of discipleship in a week. In other words, you go out in a provincial park or national park in the States, mm-hmm. but you live there for a week. And before, we actually used to do the cooking, the living in tents, the preparation. We actually did some service sometimes. We actually tried to share our faith. So it was, you know, you can almost monitor the aspect of trying to grow closer together, having friction, sure. crying and settling that by the end sure. of the week. But there are aspects in which you really learn in that type of environment with each other. I would love to see family mission trips and yes. where whole families can go serve
love that.
Downtown or whatever, because, you know, we need to see generations, you know, serving together and mm-hmm. learning and growing together as well.
What I have discovered, mm-hmm. and I think it's been over the course of a number of years, where looking at the way in which discipleship, you know, was lived out for the first generation, you know, perhaps they learned it in a certain way or they mm-hmm. embodied it in a certain way. There's still a lot to gain right. from that. And to it's not like we can look at them and be almost arrogant and say, oh, you guys did it completely wrong. I think there's this sense of, you know what? This is the way you were shaped. Mm-hmm. And this is the way maybe it was manifested and that you lived it out. And I've seen it in the way that they've worked hard mm-hmm. to raise their families, right? And they've attributed that to be like, you know what? You know, God has given us this opportunity. You know, we want to make the most of this opportunity. We want to mm-hmm. create space for our families in that way. And I'm still learning. I mean, like, mm-hmm. I know I'm second generation. And I have to check my heart mm-hmm. in regards to looking at the first generation. And maybe one day, like, you know, my kids are going to look at me and be like,
right,
like, John, you, or Dad, like, you did it completely wrong. And I hope that, like, it never gets to that point, but that we could always have that dialogue and learn from each other. Yeah, you know, I think there is a lot of richness in the ways that it has been done before, but mm-hmm. hopefully we are always humble to receiving the message and the new ways in which the Holy Spirit can work through that.
Yeah. When I talk to interns who go into a new church setting, they always have a lot of ideas and plans. And the first thing I ask them is talk to those resident congregation.
Yeah.
Ask them what they've done. Because probably the thing that you're suggesting they've tried already.
Maybe, yeah.
But it's a learning from the past. You know, they may have different struggles as well. I think that's a really good starting point, is to learn from the past, talk to the people, mm-hmm. understand their hearts and their aspirations, rather than us coming in with the answer.
Sure, sure. You know what? I think that's a great encouragement and challenge, especially because, you know, even having been here in the seminary, there is so much to learn.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much content to work through that I felt that when I finished seminary, I wondered if I did not use my time to the best ability to look at how I applied things, mm-hmm. right? What
sure.
you said, actually to meet with people, actually talk with mm-hmm. congregations, where I may have just brushed that over and be like, no, I need to make sure my theology is good. Mm-hmm. I got to make sure I, you know my Greek inside and out. Those are good things, but at the same time, in the actual act of ministry,
mm-hmm.
it is dealing with people, and it's walking alongside people,
right.
and it's about learning and listening mm-hmm. as well, as you said. So, Daniel, you know, as we are wrapping up this podcast, would you have any words of encouragement for Canadian Asian churches in terms of considering what those next steps are, where it might be headed, and, you know, what are some of the things that they might need to think through?
Well, certainly to be in prayer, to look to God for direction, because times are changing. It's not the old days anymore. It's not some of the older immigrant situation.
Mm-hmm.
So there needs to be a lot more understanding of context, of understanding of people and their concern, their vision, to be reshaping things. I think we're seeing a lot of new developments. There are new churches that are developing that don't look like the churches in the past, whether
yeah.
we have satellite congregations, church plants in homes. There's a lot of different things that are happening, and I'm very interested to look at those and to look at our neighbors to the south, because they often have tried some other things
mm-hmm.
in larger all-Asian communities, often crossing many Korean and Chinese congregations that have moved together to form different things and being more multicultural as well. multi-ethnic. So there's a lot of, I think there's a lot of things on the horizon, a lot of positive things.
Sure.
You know, again, learning from the past, but also doing some reshaping for the future.
Yeah, fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us today on this podcast.
Thank you for the invitation.
Yeah, it was great to catch up with you and to also just to hear your heart for preaching, for discipleship as well, and the things you have seen and the things you've experienced in regards to this context. Hey, thank you guys so much for joining us today on our podcast. It's been a lot to chew on, and hopefully this has been helpful for you and for your context. Hey, please connect with us through Facebook or Twitter or email. We'd love to hear from you. Let us know how you are engaging with the topics from our episodes and how you're living it out, how you're wrestling with it. Let us know how we're doing and how we can do it better. And please rate and review our podcast as well. Subscribe, because it really helps us get this discussion, this conversation out to more people. Big shout out to our partners, New Leaf, who are doing a lot of church planting stuff, and they have a lot of great resources. Go check out their podcast and their resources. All right, you guys have been listening to the Canadian Asian Missional Podcast, and we hope you will join us on this journey. See you next time.